This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
So, folks, Governor Jeff Landry, has called the legislature into special session. They will deal with tax reformation. Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute, they have their finger on the pulse of this. They monitor fiscal responsibility. They issue reports on same. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell, it's great to be back with you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir. Daniel, as we approach this, you know, there's been a lot of back and forth, sharing of data with legislators, special interest groups like yourself, and some corporations as well. What are you hearing about what folks' primary concerns as we go into this on November 6th?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest piece of feedback we hear from everybody is a big lift. It's a bold package with a lot of moving parts. You know, one of the challenges that has faced Louisiana, and the reason this is so hard, is we have among the most complex and Byzantine tax codes in the country. So fixing it, getting to a simpler, flatter, fairer system is a big old lift. And I think it's just a lot for people to get their heads around, and there's a lot of details to it.
I don't have a high confidence level that the best approach is to go into a very short special session and beat this around. I think there are a lot of competing interests. I think there's a lot of friction. There's a lot of unwinding of the way that business has been conducted in this state in a very short period. It's going to be interesting from my view and perspective. I've gone through this process before during the Jindal days. Your thoughts?
Look, I can certainly understand and appreciate that skepticism. It is a lot to do. There are some very practical reasons to do it now. One is, of course, to get on the voters are going to have to approve a part of this package, and to get this in front of voters in time for them to have time to make the case and civic groups to discuss. And the other thing is, this allows the legislature to look at actual numbers when they come in next April. If it goes into effect, the new tax rates at the beginning of the year, they're not making budget decisions based on projections as much. They actually have actual dollars they can look at to see the initial outcomes of the tax reform package. So, I understand the skepticism. I certainly, you know, it's a lot. We've been working on this for 6 or 7 years, and so I have a little bit of a head start in terms of getting our heads wrapped around it. But I think this is really important. Time is of the essence, in the sense of we continue to lose people every day to states like Texas and Florida and Tennessee. So I also appreciate the urgency with which the administration and legislative leadership has approached this.
No, I applaud them as well. I mean, you know, we got to start somewhere. I just kind of thought that we would have done a lot more preliminary work that would have been inclusive of organizations like yourself and others to talk about these things, because I think they're going to have a real difficult time having folks stay revenue neutral. And, you know, you mentioned inventory taxes. There are some parishes that really rely on inventory taxes, some that don't. It's a lot easier to resolve it, to get to a revenue neutral place in some parishes. Others, I have a real difficult time figuring out how they're going to go about achieving that. And, you know, when it, as the days tick by and people are drilling down on these numbers, I mean, you know, if you get one or it just seems to me if one or two pieces here have to be significantly compromised, the whole thing comes tumbling down.
Yeah, that's absolutely a risk. And, you know, in terms of the timeline, the other thing I'd just mention and give a lot of credit to Speaker DeVilliers has been for 2 years now hosting task force meetings at the legislature to bring all of, you know, most of the groups locally and nationally who work on tax policy have presented. And there has been a lot of discussion that you know, doesn't always reach the public consciousness or, you know, obviously we have a lot of things. The average Louisianian is dealing with a lot. So they're not glued to the legislative live stream, I know. But, you know, this wasn't reached lightly, though. I certainly understand the concerns on time. And you're right. You know, this is a package. The pieces work together with each other. And I think, you know, that's a question that legislative leadership and the administration is going to have to answer to say, you know, where are our red lines to say that if we can't get these things, you know, we need to try again. But I think they've been furiously meeting with anybody who has questions and needs more data. And the debate is going to be really, really interesting. You know, I've met with, gosh, probably 3 or 4 dozen legislators just in the last couple of weeks. And there's a lot of excitement about it. But, you know, as you note, some nerves about going in here and really the stakes are high to get.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
That's right.
Daniel, let's talk about the individual for a moment. I'm curious whether or not you guys or others have done a back of the envelope calculation on the following. So we have a flat tax at 3%. We understand the increase in the standard deductions that are going to be offered as well that are pretty aggressive and very generous, quite frankly. But then I think a lot of people that, you know, reach out to me and ask me questions, knowing that I was the former tax collector and I know a little bit about sales tax, if we expand the number of transactions that are actually going to be taxable with sales tax, and we're going to expand the base for locals to tax services that some of which were just carved out for the state, some neither the state or local government taxed, what does that mean to the consumer? Because there are a lot of personal services that they intend to tax that they haven't taxed before. And it's kind of curious what categories people find themselves in. If you're over 65, I think you're probably going to be okay because of the amount of the deductions. If you're under 65, I just did a couple of back envelope of what it would cost for certain things that are not taxed at the present time, it gets tight. And I'm just curious, and I think the public perception of this would be a lot clearer for them if you took an average family that this was the way that they were purchasing items and personal services, and just make some assumptions about that and the comparison of the 3% flat tax, the savings versus your additional cost on sales tax.
Yeah, we've started to, as you can imagine, that's a challenging model to run just because everyone's consumer preferences are very different. You know, if you look at the list of services that the administration has proposed taxing, there's a couple of things, similarities that run through them. For the most part, and there are exceptions to this, for the most part, they are services that already sell something that's taxed. So, for example, a landscape company is for the most part already selling their customers plants and equipment or materials, that so they already have the mechanisms in place to tax. The only thing that's being changed is you now will pay a tax on that, the service provider part of it. And for most of them, again, there are exceptions, but for most of them, they are what we might classify as luxury goods, dog groomers and landscape design and small remodel projects. So if you look through the list, almost none of them are sort of life staples. And in fact, the plan includes a prohibition for anyone to tax prescription drugs. So I think, you know, as you get through that, it starts to come out in the wash. And this is the beginning of a phase out of the income tax. So over the next several years, if spending restraint is addressed and if the fiscal house stays in order, we're going to see this income tax rate come down. This is a way to make sure there's not a major one-time shock to the state budget, but to get things set up that we can phase that down by constraining growth. And ultimately, even over the next few years, every small business, every individual ends up on the right side of this.
As it relates to businesses that actually hold tax exemption certificates, I don't see any movement there in fine-tuning the benefits that they reap from SANE. There are a number of businesses and business sectors that have had the benefit of a sales tax exemption for generations, I mean decades, going back to the 50s and 60s. And, you know, the state has historically taken a very broad interpretation of these sales tax certificates that are given out, exemption certificates. And they seem to have grown in the magnitude of the goods and the services that they are able to buy tax-free, right?
Right.
Why is that? Why would we not regulate the utilization of those tax exemption certificates? There's a boatload of money. I mean, you and I have talked about this, north of $6 billion. But we didn't, you know, it's like the consumers themselves are going to be facing a broader tax base. But what about businesses?
Yeah, I think we will see some, for us, just talking to a number of businesses around the state. I was just in North Louisiana yesterday having some conversations. You know, I think they're looking at this too, and they certainly will be paying some additional sales tax in particular. What it continues to exempt from sales tax are business inputs, which from a tax policy perspective is from our opinion, the right answer. You don't want to tax business inputs. What you want to tax is the outcome or service or product that is the result of all that. So I think they've got, you know, certainly there's always room for tweaking. I think they've got generally the right balance. And as you know, and most of your listeners probably know, most small business or medium-sized business pay income taxes through the individual code rather than corporate. And the corporate side is really where things get very, very complicated. But back to your question on the sales tax, I do think we'll see some cracking down on that. But I think it's important for folks to really draw that line between business inputs and business outputs.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just like, for example, office expenses, paper, pens, paper clips, this, that. you know, you give a tax exemption certificate to a business entity, and the contemplation initially was for the huge equipment, whether it be cranes or this or that or whatever it may be. And then, you know, we have these business entities that are able to go to the local Office Depot and buy themselves office supplies, and they're exempt.
Right.
And, you know, and the sum total of those types of transactions can be huge. And, you know, and the problem that as I see it is that consumers, you know, the person in the worst place, in the worst case scenario, not only in this plan, but across America, are W-2 employees. And W-2 employees that, for example, are doing work from home and they're financing their own cost and this, that, and everything else, and yet they have no opportunity to write anything off. And then you have those that have a business that have an opportunity to write some of it off. And then you have businesses with tax exemption certificates that, you know, not only get to write it off, but they don't pay any sales taxes either. You know, and we have this disproportionate treatment that's going on here with these three sectors. And I was just a little disappointed that we're not looking at that, because that accounts for a fairly decent sum of money of that over $6 billion in exemptions.
Yeah, and you make a really good point that's worth, you know, even making a broader point, which is if you exempt one thing or one group of taxpayers to raise the same amount of revenue to fund government services, you have to tax somebody else more. And that's a fundamental principle I know that was applied to this plan, even if it doesn't cover everything, is we want lower rates and broader bases so that everyone has a stake in government. Everyone has a stake in paying that bill. And I think this is an attempt to look at how do you smooth that out so that we're not doing these wild swings and some people are paying. You know, there are companies here that don't pay any tax because they're able to get enough, cobble together enough credits and deductions and preferences to buy down their entire tax liability or even most of it. And I think this isn't the end. You know, there's still certainly a lot of conversation to have about sales tax in general. I know that's controversial, certainly in your listening audience, our listening audience. But these are going to be ongoing conversations. And if this package works the way it's supposed to, and it may still need some tweaks along the way, or, you know, folks are going to need to pay attention to it, I think it will build some momentum for the broader work that still needs to be done. And I think you make a great point.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this ultimately. And again, I applaud the effort. And, you know, of course, you don't want to get caught up in 2-year studies, right? I mean, that's a path that never really reaches its goal, has been my experience. So I understand that. And it really, and I think you might admit to this or maybe not, things don't happen till you put people in a corner, right?
Yeah.
Politically.
Yep.
And otherwise. And that's the only time that you really get any movement. So I appreciate, you know, the timeline and everything else, because you're actually putting people on the spot and putting them in a corner, and they're going to have to decide one way or the other.
Yep. Yeah, you're right about that. And even just in the last, say, month or two, the difference between some rumors about a special session and what people were willing to dive into in terms of details. So now that the session's called, everybody's diving into the details. So, you know, there is something absolutely true to that, to say, okay, we're putting the ball in play. Now you have to do something. You got to make a decision. And that's really when people start to focus. It's like the night before a test. I got to study for that. I got to finish the book. And I think that's where we are as we sit here today.
Has there been any contemplation about tweaking accelerated depreciation to try and have more of a smoothing coefficient here? I mean, you know, everybody in this country went to a really fast depreciation schedule. I think, if my memory serves me correct, farm equipment was, you could fully depreciate it in a year. I don't know if that's still the case. But that has a significant impact on a revenue base as well, does it not?
It does. I don't believe that's been discussed in this round of reforms. It certainly has been discussed over the years. I don't believe, I wouldn't swear to it, there's a lot of pieces of this puzzle, but I don't believe that's part of this package.
Yeah. Any other concerns on y'all's part? I mean, you know, as we go through this process?
You know, our biggest message is, you know, we're generally supportive of the approach. The caution we regularly give is tax reform doesn't work unless you also constrain spending. And that's been a challenge over the last decade and more, is no real constraint on spending. So I believe we will see a serious attempt at controlling the growth of recurring spending, which actually frees up more revenue for one-time expenses to free up the backlog of transportation and infrastructure projects, and makes it easier to phase out that income tax and get us to a particularly competitive point with our neighbors. But we're going to have to keep an eye on spending and make sure that growth is constrained over the next decade, at least, to make sure we can keep this fiscal house in order. Otherwise, we're going to be right back here again in just a few years.
And right along with that are unfunded mandates to local government. Because
sure.
If we're going to split this responsibility up more, and a lot of that is what is actually happening here, moving responsibility from the state to local government, it can't happen if they're going to continue to pass bills as unfunded mandates on local government and local government having to fund these things. And that's purely discipline, right?
That's right. And this has sparked a really good discussion of the balance of state and local government. And I know that's one we should continue to debate and discuss to get that right. And we're not quite right there right now.
Yeah. No, I would agree. Daniel, as always, I truly enjoy the conversation with you. Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute. I'm sure we'll be talking again, and I hope you're able to join us. So thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks very much. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir. Have a great week and happy Halloween. We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!